Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. This is our monthly Laker Hockey Show. We've been doing this since the month of May. And we're hoping we can get back to a weekly show here with Laker Hockey Show. It's not going to be the same. We can't do it at the Antlers. The Antlers has been forced to close down for at least 3 weeks. And they were hit and miss even before that on being able to be open. Business has really been hurt by this COVID-19 pandemic. But we're thinking we might do an in-studio show. We won't be able to have fans, but we would be able to take some questions from people. Maybe we'll figure out a way to use Facebook or maybe put out our personal emails, et cetera, to take questions. But one way or the other, we'd like to stay in touch with our fans, Damon, and maybe do a show on Tuesday at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. as we have in the past and have it on ESPN 1400 right here and then go from there.
Yeah, that'd be great. Love to be able to talk weekly. Certainly as we get into it and, you know, with the restrictions, I think there might be more questions than ever when, you know, people aren't in the building to see some of the things going on. And so that'd be great. You know, I thought maybe some live call-ins, but I think Mark Zanangelo and Matt Pocket thought people would start swearing at me and cussing at me. So I don't want to get the station in trouble. But no, hopefully we can get that going over the next couple of weeks and love to have some fans write in and see what questions are out there.
Yeah, it's interesting what's going on here. Lots of different players can play in different positions. I think you're right. We've got good depth up front on this team. We're going to have to score some goals, obviously. You can't win if you don't score. That's been a bugaboo of this team in recent seasons, other than maybe Max Humitz and some of the other players we've had the last few years who put that puck in the net. I'm thinking of Diego Cuglietta, who was such a clutch player for us. But somebody's got to step up and do those sorts of things. Defensively, we look good. How do we stand? There's one player I haven't mentioned yet, and that's Esposito Selivanov. Is Nico back this year?
Nico's not with the team right now, but he's back, and you know, hopefully he'll be joining us at some point back. But right now, he's not with the team.
All righty. Well, we'll just try to stay on top of that and update things. He was the one forward that I had down that we hadn't talked about. Our goaltending's been excellent. Our defense has been pretty good. We're going to talk recruiting in a minute here, too, because we've got a lot of guys. And we don't need to get into all the names because you may not have a list with you, Damon. But we've got a lot of guys who've already signed NLIs. We could use their names if we wanted to. But I want to talk a little bit about the opponent this weekend. We're going to play Michigan Tech Saturday at 5:07 and Sunday at 3:07. It'll be a great test. They're itching to play just like the Lakers are. They've been practicing. They're tired of looking at the same guys every day. Same thing that the Lakers have. We have a connection with Joe Sean there, their head coach. He was an assistant here. He played here at Lake Superior State. He's from the Sioux. And they're going to bring in a pretty good hockey team here. I looked at down their roster, and I mean, I see some names there: Trenton Bliss, Brian Hallinan, Alec Bretzman. These are good hockey players. And they got two of the top recruits in the country, as rated by just about everybody, in Carson Bantle and Jed Pietola. They got three Pietola kids on this lineup now, and including a goaltender, Blake Pietola, who's a sophomore now. And they picked up, as we picked up Jack Jeffers from Alabama Huntsville, they got a goaltender, Mark Sinclair, and he's a pretty good goaltender. You put him in the back of a good team, he could be really tough.
Yeah, no question. I think, you know, we'll get to Mark momentarily in net there, but, you know, that forward group you talked about, you know, they, I think a couple of those guys are going into their junior year, Logan Pietola into his sophomore year, but they've had a young nucleus up front that have you know, been impactful players and been, you know, some of their top scorers over the last couple of years, and I think that's, you know, really where their really big threat is. They've got a real experienced, talented forward group now that has you know, been in those key games, played those key roles, a little bit like Diego and Anthony and Gage as they came up, and Mitch Holtz, you know, as freshmen, they were kind of thrown in the fire, and you saw what that led to. And I think Tech is in that area now with those junior forwards in particular. particular and some other forwards mixed in there from different classes. Real strength to their team. They lost a couple key D, so they've got to make some replacements on the back end, but return guys like Tyler Rockwell, who's a very smart player and, you know, played a lot of hockey for them, and some younger the D that were good players from last year. And then, yeah, you know, an interesting pickup there in St. Clair, from Alabama Huntsville, the goaltender. He was tremendous last year. I think his numbers are only like at 89, but, you know, he was facing 40, 50 shots a night. And, you know, when they won, it was basically him stealing a game. So, you know, very dangerous. He's a guy that can steal games for you and, you know, really changes that dynamic for Michigan Tech. You know, they also have Pietilä and Nett there, so it'll be interesting to see where they go for his sophomore year and got a handful of games last year. So, yeah, it's an interesting team, but, you know, real experienced up front, real dangerous up front, some real tremendous power play guys and shooters. So that's going to be a real key for us to be on our game defensively and limit their opportunities.
Yeah, they're going to be a handful, and it'll be a good early season test, and it'll show you where you need to do some work, et cetera. And then you don't have a whole lot of time. You're going to play this weekend, Sunday afternoon. That game will get over about 6:30 on Sunday evening. And then you got to get ready to go over and play at Northern Michigan next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Then, of course, you take the holiday off and play at home on Friday night against Ferris State. Again, no fans, but we'll be there to provide the play-by-play, and fans can watch on Flow TV if they want to. Man, we're right into it.
Right into it. Yeah, it's there's not much. It's different, you know. Like in college, usually you have that full week to prepare for the same opponent two nights, and throwing that Northern game in there, you know, it's a lot different preparation, so you lose time in a normal college season, a lot more like a pro schedule. And, you know, we're going to focus more on ourselves. I think the other interesting part is, you know, obviously our two games Tech, we go to Northern Olympic Sheet, back into our building, down to Ferris for that little sandbox down there where everything happens quick. So we're going to go from that big sheet, you know. It's going to be interesting, and we got a lot to kind of digest and handle. But, you know, we're going to learn a lot about our team, like a lot about our team, like our leadership group, and really just, you know, ecstatic that we're right around the corner. And again, just a huge kudos to David Pateson and Rod Hanley, our senior administration team, along with those in the WCHA and Michigan Tech to get us to this point. We've had great collaboration between, I guess I'll say GLIAC, but also WCHA institutions to get to this point and to try to provide our kids opportunities to play and compete. And I know as coaches that we were really demanding on our ADs, just to be honest with you. You know, we pushed a lot. We fought hard for our student athletes, which I think is the right thing to do on their behalf. And we're very appreciative that they, you know, spent so much time and you know, looked at so many different scenarios to bring this to a reality. I wish we could share it with our fans in a normal environment. So I hope many tune in to 99.5 and catch the call, you know, and then we can talk after through that show. But we're really looking forward to the weekend and getting back on the ice and bringing some normalcy back, certainly to our lives, but hopefully to some of our fans as well.
Yeah, you've got the same staff back too. You got Mike, you got Zach as your assistant coaches. I think you mentioned our trainer, Pat Sarney, a few minutes ago. What a great job he's done. I think Wes is finally getting back into the role of equipment manager. And you need that normalcy. You really do. I mean, Denny Suggett does a great job helping out, sharpening skates, doing things, helping with equipment, et cetera. But we need some stability there. And it's all part of the team. These are all team players. It goes right down to the guys who work at the rink. Jerry Killips, Seymour, I mean,
Dan and Jesse and Rich, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you're right. And you know, thank, you know, without Denny Suggett, we couldn't have been here. You know, Wes is back. He was, you know, out on furlough due to budget. And then, you know, it's a challenge, you know, just so our fans know, you know, the testing is something we did not budget for, and that's a large number. Obviously, with no fans, there's a large loss in revenue. So it is a very challenging time to operate and to get through this, just like, you know, so many of you out there. And we understand that we're going through the same thing. But, yeah, Denny Suggett was a lifesaver through this. And you mentioned Jerry Killips and Dan Kozel and Jesse and Rich Burt. You know, those guys all give so much to the program. Mike Guggen's back as well, our video coordinator. So Googs is back, thankfully. Dan Kinnear, Ethan Ritzma, our student managers, also did so much through us through the furloughs and the shutdowns to be here and help. help us operate, you know, was a big part of it. So we're excited and we're ready to go and I can't wait to happen. So again, we ask that you tune in and then find ways to be involved and, you know, anything we can do to help out. We're hoping that we're a little piece of this recovery for everybody.
Well, again, the Lakers do play this weekend. They'll take on Michigan Tech on Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock and then 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday against Joe Shawn's Michigan Tech Huskies again. And then next Wednesday, we go to Northern Michigan. That'll be interesting. There's a good team, too. You look at them on paper, they get some really good players, especially up front coming back, and they're going to be tough.
I think that's
a well-coached team.
They are, yeah. Grant's done a great job over there. And I think depending on what poll you look at, you know, Northern's 4 and Tech's 5, or you flip them, I think Tech's 4-1 and Northern's 5 just in front of us at 6. So, you know, you've got the UP rivalry. You've got teams, you know, maybe grouped in that same area. You're still Mankato's doing what Mankato does, you know, reloading, and then they'll be up the top. Bemidji returns a lot. Bowling Green returns a lot. So it's going to be a competitive little cluster there. And, you know, we want to get off on the right foot there. But it's a well-coached team. It's always a quick, tough adjustment to go to the Olympic sheet there. You know, we'll turn our attention to that right after that Sunday game. Hopefully we come out of the gates and get a couple big wins and get rolling a little bit. And then we'll shift our attention to prepping for Northern Michigan and all they throw at you.
Okay, we're looking at recruiting. Fans always want to know about recruiting. It's probably the top subject for people when they show up at the Laker Hockey Show. I know John Forrest is big on recruiting. It's the lifeblood. It's what we look for in the future. We want to find out who's coming in, et cetera. I don't know if you've got a name list or what. I know some guys have signed NLIs, but I've been really impressed by the fact that we are getting so many commitments and so many NLIs signed at this point. It's really good. I mean, given the COVID and the pandemic situation, our recruiting's looking good.
Yeah, you know, everybody's learning through it. You know, NCAA has put us in an extended dead period. You know, we're not allowed to go off campus and recruit and evaluate, and we're not allowed to have any recruits on campus. So that's new to everybody across the country and different. So we're navigating that a little bit and finding ways to try to have success. You know, some of the NLIs that just came in are guys that we've maybe had on verbals for quite a while. You look at Grant Hinman and Brian Huggins. We just received their national letters of intent. They've been verbaled with us over the last, you know, 1 or 2 years, maybe more. Both very good defensemen. Really excited about both those individuals. Grant's the lefty, Brian's the righty, but, you know, really, really good players and really excited about them. Maybe, you know, Colin Sockerman type comparisons. They bring a little bit of bull side, some edge and toughness, but also can move pucks and contribute. So, you know, excited about them. Sebastian Medema also signed his national letter of intent out of Sioux Falls. He's one of those Europeans stuck kind of in limbo right now where he can't come over on a B1 visa to play, rejoin the Sioux Falls Stampede. So he's trying to figure out next steps and what he does in the meantime. But a real exciting trio of defensemen there that will continue, I think, what's been a real strength to our team the last few years, and looking forward to that, you know. And I'm kind of hitting guys that just got their NLIs back. I didn't go back and look at some of the earlier NLIs. But Dawson Tritt out of Alberni Valley just signed as well. A forward that can play both the wing and up the middle. Alberni Valley's off to a good start this year, and Dawson's off to a really good start. Seattle Washington kid who, you know, he's a long kid, probably got to have a good summer in the weight room, but can play with some bite, but also some real good offensive ability to score and set up goals, so we're excited about him. Cole Kraft out of actually a Thunder Bay kid that's down in Lincoln in the USHL, a big, strong right winger, about 6'2 or so. You know, again, he plays the game the right way. He can score around the net and finish, but gets up and down and plays a hard, heavy role. And then Brett Rollison, a center out of Powell River in the BCHL. They haven't been able to play yet this year because of different COVID issues way up in Powell River. Kind of interesting for Brett and Powell River. Anytime they leave town, it's a double ferry ride to get anywhere. So they're really struggling with COVID and how they can operate in this environment. But Brett's dad, a longtime NHLer, and Dwayne Rollison, they've got Ontario roots, but kind of grew up all over with Dwayne as he moved and played. But Brett's, you know, maybe a Hampus Erickson kind of comparison, a very heady centerman, support transports pucks really well, good in his own zone, but can also distribute pucks really well. His zone entries, he gets pucks to wingers and gets pucks to guys in scoring position and can make plays. So we're excited about that group. And I know I didn't hit everybody. Some of our earlier guys who had signed a previous period, we can maybe hit them next show. But that's the last batch that just came in over the last week or so. And a group that Mike and Zach did a really good job on, fill a lot of the holes that we anticipate missing. And we're all here. So here's the last wrinkle of this new era we're working in. The transfer waiver went through. So all of a sudden, there's a one-time transfer exception. So every team's going to be trying to navigate this new world where you can transfer to a new institution and not sit out. So, you know, what does that mean for kids on our roster? What does that mean for available kids to come in? Nobody knows. And, you know, we have to be prepared to be flexible and, you know, on top of what that new world looks like in college hockey.
Yeah, I think we saw an example of that with Robbie Bedun playing in Wisconsin. I saw him play against Notre Dame last weekend. He looked really good, and he was with Michigan Tech. So suddenly he leaves Tech, and he's playing right away at Wisconsin. There's a good example.
Yeah, well, and that fell under the grad transfer rules last year. So this, but moving forward, Bill, you're right. Now it's you don't have to be a grad transfer. It can be a freshman who's not happy with ice time. It can be your best junior, and they just decide to transfer. Or, you know, we're worried as a body, you know, any kind of poaching or tampering. There's not a great way to oversee that, and that's a worry for all of us. But it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more free-for-all at this point. So, yeah. You know, you've got to be prepared for some surprise departures potentially and also know what's going on for a chance to make your own team better. And, you know, we're having those dialogues and trying to get a pulse for where our guys are at. So it's a new world we're operating in, and we're all going to have to adjust and be ready to handle it.
Yeah, you look at that, and it's kind of like, okay, let's say Josh Wildauer is really good this year, and he scores 15 goals for the Lakers as a freshman. All of a sudden, he's talking about going to Michigan State or Notre Dame or something.
Sure.
And you're wondering, okay, how did he figure that out? Somebody
right.
Talked to him.
Yeah. So it's, you know, with the advisors and – you know, friends on those teams, you know, they all know each other these days. So it is. It's, you know, it's unsettling in some ways. The NCAA felt like it was, you know, best for the student athletes. And so that's the world we're now operating in. And again, we just have to be on top of it as we can be and as prepared as we can be. But there'll be years it'll benefit us. It'll benefit us. And there'll be years it's going to hurt us. And, you know, our job is to coach as hard as we can and, you know, help our guys, you know, graduate and have pro opportunities and want to be part of our program. And I think our staff's capable of doing that. So that'll be our focus.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're going to play this weekend. We'll have no fans in the building. I'm just waiting for some of my friends to start calling and asking if I need somebody to carry my equipment box into the building or something. You know, everybody's going to try to figure out a way to see this game. I think Bill Atkins has probably been asked already about expanding the off-ice officials list and have 8 or 9 guys sitting down in the penalty box. But that's the way of life right now. We got to deal with it. And Damon, I know you guys are doing as good a job as you possibly can with all this. You got so many different things to think about and worry about, from your players to administration to trying to get a game taken care of to travel and all these things. I mean, it's incredible. And we're hoping that things will get better here as the season goes on, and we will get a WCHA season, and we will have fans. But we'll have to wait and see. Right now, no fans until December the 8th, so we're going to play quite a few games here with just broadcasters calling games.
Yeah, and that's our reality. And I thinking about our community, it's one of the great things about being in Sault Ste. Marie and up here in the Upper Peninsula. We take care of each other, and we're strong, and we're proud. And, you know, I just ask everybody to take care of each other. And, you know, again, if you can tune in and catch us and we bring a couple hours of relief, that's what we're hoping to do. Again, for everybody involved in our program, I know the relief to be in game week is you can feel it with our players and our staff. It's been way too long in coming. So I hope normalcy is around the corner for all of us, and that we can be just a piece of that for everybody out there.
All righty. Don't forget this weekend, 5 o'clock game time on Saturday, 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. It'll be Michigan Tech in the Sioux. We'll have those games for you on YesFM. You can watch them on Flow TV if you want to buy that package for a month. And we'll try to get our sponsors all lined up here and get ready to go. We've got Northern Michigan a week from Wednesday, and then Ferris State at home on the Friday right after Thanksgiving, and then down to Ferris on that Sunday. And hey, we're underway here with another season. Damon, thanks for doing this morning, and we'll talk more about a Laker hockey show in the future and let fans know when we're going to get going on a weekly basis as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me in, Bill. It's great to always to talk and to be in game week. So wishing everybody a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Alrighty, that's Laker Hockey Talk, another edition, the one for November, and we're on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.